This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. If you would like to contact me again, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. My website contains a weekly meditation that you can read. You can also contact me if you'd like to get on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that these meditations are published in from time to time. If you'd like me to add you to the email list for the meditations, let me know that, and we'll take your prayer requests. You can contact me through the website or by regular mail. So if you want those addresses, you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write them down at the close of the program. Now today we're continuing our journey through Luke, and we're going to get to chapter 5 and verse 18. Dealing with really two issues, forgiveness of sins by the Lord himself, and then the way in which the Lord calls sinners to serve him. Now we'll notice as we look at this passage that some sins are from birth and some sins are of our own doing, and the Lord can forgive both. If we were looking at sins from birth, we would go to John chapter 9, where a blind man received his sight. The question was asked by the disciples, did this man sin or his parents? And the Lord made it clear that neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this sin was so that God could be glorified. But in this case, we notice that the Lord says, thy sins be forgiven thee, as he heals the man. And I just want you to notice this as we go through the passage, because the Lord says, thy sins be forgiven thee, and then arise and take up thy bed and walk. So I would guess that in this particular case, the sin that was forgiven was a sin that the man had entered into either voluntarily or because of the circumstances of life. And so this was not a disease or a problem from birth. So we see between Luke 9 and Luke 5 the issue of original sin, and it can be forgiven, sins that are there just simply because of our nature, and we see sins of choice, then they can be forgiven as well. And so let's read from Luke chapter 5 and verse 18. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And the Lord says, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Good question, isn't it? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange, or better translation would be extraordinary things today. We have seen extraordinary things today. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. The old King James would call Levi a publican, and this is another name for Matthew. He saw a tax collector named Levi. As far as the Jews were concerned, tax collectors were sinners that they despised, because normally they were Jews who were working for the Roman government, and sometimes they lined their own pocket by collecting more than they needed to collect to meet their quota with Rome. And so they were actually people that the Jews would look down on, and it was other Jews that they would be looking down on. But he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. Notice Levi, who was probably getting wealthy with this position. He left all, he rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. No one is really righteous, we know that. And so the Lord says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I just appreciate that last phrase, because those of us who are saved didn't have to get good to get saved. We had to find out we were sinners to be saved. Now, no one is really righteous, but there are some who think that they are righteous. And until we find out that there is none good, no, not one, we probably will not be seeking the Lord's blessing in salvation, which he offers freely to sinners. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So as we look at this passage, there's a number of lessons we can learn. We've already seen that there are some sins that represent the way we're born, and we sin because we're sinners. We're born sinners, we have the nature of sin, and sin is the fruit of our life. But there are other sins that are sins of choice. Now, you could say that they result because of the nature of sin as well, but they are definitely sins of choice. And sometimes the two are commingled, because I know that there are some people who have the tendency to have alcoholism in their genes, in their nature. If they never touched alcohol, they would never know that. But they do have the tendency to be alcoholics. And so when they are encouraged to make the choice to drink alcohol, they find out they're alcoholics and can't break free of it. So the sins of our original nature and the sins of choice are sometimes very closely linked. But nevertheless, all of us have a problem with sin, with thinking wrong thoughts and doing wrong things and offending God because of that. So when we look at this passage, the Lord is looking at something that he can do for both the sins that we have by nature and the sins that we incur by choice. And the sins that we incur by choice, the sins that we enter into by choice, are often sins that create physical, mental, and social problems in our life. And it's those problems that often make us realize that something is wrong and we need to get right with God. So when we look at the Lord healing this man who was paralyzed, it's really a picture of what he does for those of us spiritually who turn to him for salvation. He heals us in a spiritual sense. He cleanses us and he makes us right with him. So I believe that this is a picture of the way God works in salvation. He can say, in that day, he could save physically, but in our day, his work is spiritual, and he saves us spiritually from the problems that we enter into because of our sin. There are people who would tell me they're saved who've never found out they're sinners, and they think they're pretty good, but they are following Jesus. But friend, I need to tell you that the Lord did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And the reason he did that is because we're all sinners. He offers salvation freely to all. But if we don't find that out, we'll never really appreciate the work of the cross and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. We'll never appreciate the fact that it's him that we must trust to put away our sins. And of course, in our case, we're trying to be right with God for eternity. We want a home in heaven. In this man's case, he wanted to get right with God for time. He wanted to be freed from the consequences of sin that apparently had been by choice. You'll notice that the blessing came because of faith. And it almost looks as though when you first read this, that there are four men who have faith that the Lord can save or heal this man. And those four men are the means of this man's salvation. And there's no doubt some truth to that. It is the faith of an evangelist who brings the gospel to people who need to be saved, who perhaps do not have an understanding of the gospel, but ultimately it's their own personal faith that saves them. And when I look at this, it says that he saw their faith. And when I read that originally, I thought it was the four men who had brought this paralyzed man. He saw their faith. But I believe that it goes beyond that. He saw the faith of the four men and the faith of the paralytic. And I would like to suggest that the paralyzed man wanted to be healed and told these four men that if you'll just get me to the Lord Jesus, he can heal me. And as a result, he had faith that energized them. And they apparently also had seen the miracles or heard about the miracles of the Lord Jesus, and they had faith as well. But I believe there were five men here who had faith in the Lord Jesus, and all five of them were involved in seeing this man delivered from his paralyzed state. A person cannot be saved based on the faith of another, but the faith of another can make it possible for them to exercise their faith. So the faith of an evangelist, the faith of a mother, the faith of the father can teach us about the gospel, but I don't want this passage to give anyone here assurance that they're saved because another has believed for them, because we must personally believe in the truth that Christ died for our sins. So I think that there was an interplay between the faith of the four and the faith of the paralyzed man. And I wouldn't even hesitate to accept the fact that maybe the four went to the paralyzed man and said, "We think that man can save you," but that man wouldn't be able to save the paralyzed man until the paralyzed man himself had confidence that the Lord could save. So there were five men with faith here, and that included the one who needed to be healed and who ultimately was healed. And so as we look at this, the Lord says, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." That's what makes me believe that this was a problem associated with a lifestyle choice. Your sins are forgiven you. And because of that lifestyle choice, when he forgave his sins, he freed him from the consequences of those sins. And so the man was able to rise up and walk. It'd be like saving a man from lung cancer because he had smoked cigarettes, or it'd be like healing a leg because a man had gotten into a fight that he shouldn't have gotten into. That sort of thing seems to be associated with this statement, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And yet the Pharisees and the scribes, they criticized him because only the Lord, only God could forgive sins, and they were absolutely right. But what they weren't willing to accept is that the Lord was proving that he was God. And so God had power to forgive sins, but you'll notice it says the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, and we need to emphasize that because it's only on earth that the Lord can forgive sins. And when we look at this from the standpoint of salvation for eternity, we have to settle the issue of the forgiveness of sins before we die. No one can do something for us after we die that will give us the faith we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all before we die. So this life is where we prepare to meet God. And friend, it's in this life that we have to get right with God, and it's only on earth that the Lord is going to be able to forgive sins. He won't forgive them when we cross over to the other side. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. And if we die saved, we'll go to heaven. If we die as a believer in Christ, we'll go to heaven. If we have faith in Christ when we die, we'll go to heaven. And if we have rejected that, we will miss out on heaven forever. So this healed man gave glory to God, and I think that means that he praised and thanked the Lord for saving him. He gave God all the credit, and that's what we should do too. If we're really delivered from the penalty that our sin deserves, we should give God the credit and thank him for doing that. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. Pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened. We commend this program into your care for your use in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.